Rituals are the foundation pulling us together, but it takes a community to support the rituals we need throughout our lives. Welcome to the journey of finding your community. Learn the knowledge of generations and how it applies to your everyday life. Tune in for an unconventional perspective on ancient wisdom and how it can change your life right now. I will tell you how to navigate this fast-changing world with the power of the gifts you already have. Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Hoff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, starts now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Living Your Gifts, Ancient Applications for Modern Times. I'm your host, Susan Hoff. I welcome you today and invite you to join me the second Wednesday of every month as we discuss topics to help you find your gifts and your community. In the Dogara tradition, the earth element is about mothering and the value of being mother. Earth is all about love, self-love, loving your community and feeling at home within and with others. The earth element grounds us and helps us create an identity and a home where we are nurtured and feel safe. The earth always holds us. It's the mothering aspect of this element I'm looking forward to talk about today. And I am thrilled to not only have Dr. Pat joining us again, but to introduce you to two of the women in my village. My guests today are Suzanne DeCarion and Kristen Wood. Suzanne DeCarion is the founder of Earth Alchemy, holistic care and a holistic caregiver. She works with critically ill patients on a daily basis, providing plant medicine protocols and compassionate support. Suzanne raised three children in Laguna Beach, California, and is a passionate believer that the village she surrounded herself with helped raise her children. Beautiful friendships with other like-minded parents created her village and helped mold so many conscious young people. Meeting me and learning the teachings of Sobhambhu Sarmé were in perfect alignment with Suzanne's beliefs regarding parenting her children. All three of her children know they are loved, seen, and supported by their community. And Kristen Wood. Kristen and I co-founded Walking for Water. She attended George Mason University, where she graduated with a BA in sociology in 2011. Kristen is a full-time homeschooling mom in this pandemic who loves traveling and spending time in nature with her family and friends. You know, I want to take a moment, because it's the earth element, to just take some breaths and really get grounded and ask that you really align with your heart today. That you're open it and you hear it and you listen to this mothering aspect, and it broadens how you see earth interacts with you and how you can see a new way to mother. Sobhambhu always told the story about when a man came to the village and asked her, "Can you get me your mom?" Sobhambhu got really confused. In fact, she got pretty shaken up by it. She said, "What are you talking about? They're all my mother." Sobhambhu had no knowledge that she had a biological mother who took precedence over the other women, whom she all considered her mother. In fact, she tells some wild stories about how she made sure she went to the right mother all the time. This is how children are raised in the Dogara tradition. All women are your mothers, and all men are your fathers. That type of energy surrounding a child is not only beneficial to the child, but to the mothers. Kristen came into my life in this way. She was young. She was in second grade. I remember the first day I saw you, Kristen. And I knew that you were going to be a part of my life, and then I was going to. I didn't know it was going to be like another mother at the time, but I knew that there was some karmic connection. And Suzanne came into my life through her daughter, Maya, which was a similar energy that I felt that deep connection with both of you in different ways, but very community-based. So I've always wondered, what would my life have looked like if I had been raised in the Dogara and not with so many, with a more conscious aspect of more mothers? So Kristen, you were so young when you got involved in all of this. I can't even imagine. How has that impacted and shaped your life?
I think it's shaped everything in my life, my entire outlook on life, my view on friendships and family and connection. I remember you lived right around the corner from me, and I was best friends with Ashley, who is Susan's daughter. And I remember from elementary school on, wandering over to Susan's house and having having this just this deep sense of I was always welcome there. I never had to knock. I just would walk right in and say, hey. And at first I kind of was like, oh yeah, this is very special for me. They are seeing me. And then I started noticing that all of Susan's friends did the same thing. all of her family and all the other neighbor kids and everything. And it was the first time when I said, wow, this house is a home to a lot of people more than just me. And, cause I know when I grew up, we would have people, come visit family, very planned, very scheduled. But it was my first experience with someone at any time, at any moment, just being fully welcomed and embraced as they are at that moment into someone's life, their home. And, I just remember always being in awe by it. And when I was having my time with the village with Susan and Sabumfu, and there was just this deep sense of never being lonely. It was if you wanted to get up late and have a snack, there was probably somebody else down having a snack and you could hang out. If they wanted to go on a walk, there was someone around who was also wanting to go on a walk. It was just this deep feeling of I'm not alone. I have any choice of people that I can be with right now. And that was in stark contrast to my other environment growing up. So it was really beautiful to be able to see the two and kind of walk in both now as an adult and say, I know what I definitely want for my child. And that's growing up with a deep sense of community.
It wasn't always easy, though, if I recall, just an FYI.
No.
Sometimes no. Kristen had so many mothers. Like, I remember one time, Kristen, you wanted to kill us, and we were all in the car. Remember that? And you're not getting out of the car. And it was like, Kristen was was the youngest person to ever go through a ritual healing village. Like, she got initiated in Sabofa's tradition at a very young age.
Amazing.
And Maya, her daughter, also came to grief rituals at a very young age. 12. So these kids got something, but they also didn't get away with as much, if I recall.
Yes, we were constantly, not just me, but me, I had a lot to be called on. I remember that it was when you would mess up, it was funny because Susan's house was like a hangout for all of Ashley's friend group. It was a safe place for us. And I remember that we would do things that we know were messing up, and we would find ourselves telling Susan about it. Like, we were telling on ourselves. We needed a safe place where, like, we needed a parent to kind of be like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, or you know, you shouldn't be hanging around that. And, but it was a safe container for us, things that we would not go to our personal families with, but we still needed a safe container to have an outlet for things that wouldn't have had an outlet with an adult otherwise.
I often wonder, like, what was it like being the mother to opening your heart to a new way? Did you do it organically that you knew to raise your children with others, or did you make a consciousness around it?
I think it was both. Because I knew even when I moved to this community, which is Laguna Beach, when I moved here, it was that innate wanting that of community, but not being able to define it, not because, of course, I wasn't raised like that. So not being able to really articulate what I wanted. And then but with that came more of a feeling. It just started to manifest that way. And it's fun listening to you, Kristen, because that whole dynamic has been transferred right here to Laguna. And so my daughter got to be raised exactly the way you did and have that experience. And the kids just come and go from here because they know. And how priceless is that? And so I wanted that for my daughter. And there's a certain element, I think, in our modern culture of letting go, because everything's so much about helicoptering your kids and you know, that too much control. So there was part of that, of me being able to kind of on a soul level say, I want the village to raise my children. Mm-hmm. You know, I want it to not just be me. I want them to be exposed to a lot of mothers. And that's exactly what happened. And then I became one of those mothers to the other, you know, kids as well. And it happened very organically, but with such deep purpose.
Yeah.
You know, so there was an inner knowing around it, but there was no, you know, it wasn't like structured or anything like that. It just happened and it just clicked. And so many of us, you know, came together and created this community. And that first story that Susan mentioned about Sibanfu, I just remember the first time I heard that story about her not knowing who her biological mother was, you know, not necessarily knowing which one it was, because so many had mothered her. And, you know, that story just never left me. I come back to that and I share that story all the time. I repeat, you know, the story that was repeated to me. And that really struck a chord with me of wanting that for my kids.
Yeah. Let me ask this, because I want to take us to a short break. You know what this reminds me of? I mean, it took me to travel clear across the country, right? From the East Coast. I was born in New York, raised in New York, lived in New Jersey, but I have that New York culture. So whenever you hear people from New York on the news or the media or whatever you hear, that's like really true. But what we don't speak about is why New Yorkers are categorized in a certain way. And mm-hmm. one of the things that's important is that for me, when I moved to the West Coast, and my mentor was out of Santa Rosa, California, a woman that took people on vision quests, what I realized is so simple. In New York, all the mothers were responsible for all the children in our neighborhood. I mean, we didn't say it. We're like not talking like that. Mothers didn't get together and say, oh, let's get together and let's be. There was something so organic in it. And it's very hard for me to describe because, Kristen, when you were talking about it, it just like flashed. I could see my old neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. My old block where, you know, Mama DeVito was making meatballs for my mama, who wasn't Italian. From the South, and would bring the meatballs over. And I watched these two cultures, two very matriarchal cultures. One, the old country, Italian, Polish, Brazilian, all of them. And the South, where every Sunday, the ritual of this. But I want to ask you this question. I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I want to ask you this question. It seemed like we got away from it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it. But it seems like as a collective society in the United States, we got away from it. Still a little bit of it's going on culturally. But it seems like that. I wonder if it's now time to bring it back powerfully.
I think if we don't take a deeper look at the lack of community, I think that's why our culture is failing right now. I think that's why America is so struggling, is because we don't know what it's like to be connected. We got isolated in our little boxes, and then we pretend we're okay. Where if you're living in a community, you know somebody's not okay, and you address it. And you say, what do you need? I mean, even the way that we did it, like, you know, I can feel when Kristen, even from across the country, when she's struggling, I can say, okay, honey, what is going on? Don't hide that from me.
Well, my daughter's in Honolulu and she feels her too. So she feels it everywhere.
Yeah. But it's about working together. It's like Suzanne said, we've got to come back together and not mother individually, because it's not working.
Because we can't do it a lot. I mean, isn't it that Sibanfu really was a part of the movement, let me call it, to enable women to ask for help from other people? You see, this idea of asking for help, somehow, I don't remember when parents stopped thinking it was okay to ask for help. Because when I was growing up, my mom would be like, oh, I cannot take care of these kids today. Can you help? But now there's this sense of independence, which makes it very hard. And I'm not just saying around parenting. I think we're struggling as women to say, I need help with this or that. Or, I mean, what is your take on that?
I think it's a sense of failure, not wanting to look like failures or thinking we can do it all. Mm-hmm. I think there's, some, I don't know, Kristen, you're the youngest mom of us all, you know.
It's control too.
And yeah, well, I mean, you have to be willing to say your kids aren't perfect when you co-parent with other moms. You have to be able to say, like, my kid messed up. Like, mm-hmm. And there's something that's broken down in culture about that. I don't quite get it, but it started, I think, in my mother's generation, because I do remember my mother not wanting, I talked too much about my life, and my mother saying, shh, you don't need to tell people everything, Susan. And I was like, why not? Who cares? What's mm-hmm. the big deal? And then I think it got worse for you, Kristen.
Yeah, there was a lot when my experience was different, because when I became a mother, I was and still am married to someone in the military, and I was alone, essentially alone all the time with my baby. And it was very hard because I didn't have an established community in the early years. And thankfully, I had you and Sabumpu nearby to come help me right in the first few days. But I went a period of time where I didn't have one, and I didn't feel comfortable at that point being in a different state and not knowing people, feel comfortable trying to meet up and make friends in that way, and to have somebody see me in full postpartum and you know, it was a sense of I don't want people to see how deeply I'm struggling or how hard this is for me. And I ended up hiring postpartum doulas to just come hang out with me and sit with me, because I knew I needed someone. But there was a fear around going out into the larger community for me at that point.
Let me ask this question, Suzanne.
Yes.
Let me ask this question, because, and I'm going to start with the comment that was made to me a number of years ago. I worked in a coming of age program for kids that were, I think they had to be eight or nine, mm-hmm. right? Up until like 13 or something. 9-month program. These kids did everything that they needed to do to follow the rituals. And the second year, the light bulb went on and said, it doesn't work unless the parents go on their own coming of age program, right? Because the kids were getting so much more smart. They were getting so much smarter than the parents. And they would come home every week. They would talk about building sweat lodges and doing this and burning sage. And the parents would be like, what are you burning? What? So the light bulb went on, and then we created a parallel path.
Black Eyed Peas for,
right? Yeah, that's it. But here's my question. We didn't have any doubt. Those of us that were facilitating, or maybe we were the mentor, each of us had a mentee child that we were working with. Someone said to me something the other day, and they said something like, I don't know if those rituals are ancient or timeless rituals can recover from the lost memory. And I said, why do you say that? And they said, because the teachers are not as visible. And I want to ask you all about that, because you are visible about it, but yet there's a sense and a longing, Suzanne, there's a longing that people don't even understand, the longing and how to ask for it. There's a longing from women. Let me just say women. I didn't work on the men's side of that program, but men were doing it. And I want to ask you about this, because do you feel there is a consciousness of longing for what you're teaching? And what would you say to folks to bring that ancient wisdom, rituals, what would you say to folks to bring that to bear? Because Sabanth, we've shared that with you. So how are we sharing it with others outside of the show? What's your feeling on this?
So this is a question for Susan, right? Because you said Suzanne, I just want to make sure.
I mean, I think this is for all of us. I mean, I think Sabanfu showed us by living it, for one thing. I mean, everything she did was not hidden, you know, and I remember one time, and I'm going to get even more into that next time we have this, is when I met her, she made sure there was no, we were in the car. I was with my friend Jennifer. We were picking her up for the first time to take her to a ritual. And we're thinking she's a guru, right? We're like, let us be like good little angels in the thing, which is not Jennifer and I at all. And all of a sudden she started talking about farting in the car. And I was like, and so then I told a story about my dad and doing it. But what it was is there's no hierarchy. There's no fear of being seen. There's no fear of being real. And I think that's the gift that Sabanfu really gave us. Like, step in and just be yourself. And if you need help, just by God say you need help, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling crazy, like, call in somebody to help you with this craziness. You know, mm-hmm. Poor Kristen, she got, I mean, when, you know, Kristen was our guinea pig in some ways, because she was the child in the village, right? I mean, my son and my daughter would come in and out, but that was the way they acted out, was like, ugh, what mom does. But we all three were raised by probably four or five mothers. Yeah.
Well, then that's my question for Suzanne, because you are a real live, so you are a representation of taking the concept, the idea, the teaching, and putting it into life.
So let's just be honest. I mean, when a child, for all of us that parent, it's just like Ashley and Branner, you know, there's this incredibly close connection with you, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's certain things that can't be heard because you are such a close parent. So then you bring in another parent, right? From the community, and all of a sudden it can be heard. And it was the same thing with my daughter, Maya. You know, if she can't hear it from me, she can hear it from Susan.
Yeah.
She can hear it from other women in the community that we've been created. And it takes, you know, it does take some time to integrate that community. I heard someone say once that it's 3 years to create a community. You know, and I thought that kind of resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. We have a great community.
We do. And we've taken the time, and it's been nurtured. And we've, you know, in a very organic way, brought the children in and then let them go, you know, let them organically take their steps to get the support that they need in the way that feels right to them. But we gave them the tools through introducing them, integrating them into the community. And so, you know, and then going back to what you said, you know, Dr. Pat, about, you know, the kids are learning all this amazing stuff, right? And they're coming home and doing these rituals. And it is important to be in the alignment with them. I mean, mine kind of happened a different way, because I was already doing that. And then but I didn't necessarily impose it on her. Mm-hmm. I tested the waters with her and exposed her to it. And she was either going to take to it or she wasn't. And, you know, thankfully she did. So that's kind of how it was back then.
Yeah.
It was like 2008-ish, you know, right around
there. Yeah. It's a whole different world. I mean, you know, I think it's a good time to take a break, but it is a whole different world. I mean, some of this is really funny. There are some funny stories that come out of this. There really are. I mean, I was called in the middle of a night for an intervention to go to to one of the kids' homes, because the kid was doing a ritual in his seashell of sage, and he lit the thing on fire, and the parents were convinced it was marijuana. They thought it was weed. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're like, "You got to come over here. You made my kid a drug addict." And I'm like, what are you talking about? And now, because we forget. Now, it does really smell like that. Now, I'm just saying, some of it does. But I had to bring my sage over. I had to do this like by 3-4 in the morning, right? There is an education, and some of the stories are funny because we are funny sometimes when we learn. When we come back, I'd love to hear about the openness of this teaching and how this openness that you all have learned and you're bringing forward, you know, this welcoming spirit home, right? The energy of that, which is so powerful, and how it is important in the world we're living in today, because even with COVID-19 and what we've all had to learn differently, this is a powerful message to tap into the hearts, the collective hearts. Let's take a short break. What do you think? Susan, before we go, what should people know? How should they find out more?
Go to livingyourgifts.com and you can find out more about what we're doing, and find me on Facebook, Susan Huff, H-O-U-G-H, and, you know, and Suzanne, tell them about what your
yeah.
Oh, mine. So again, it's community and it's a lot of what I learned here, but mine is Earth Alchemy Holistic Care. So it's, and the reason we added holistic care is bringing in all the holistic providers from our community, because we are integrating that completely for whole being wellness. And Susan is a big part of that. So Earth Alchemy Holistic Care. But thank you.
I love it. I just got some new sage from my trip to Montana. Right off the side of the road.
Nice.
You can smell it a mile away. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friends on Pets Talk with pet communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
Message delivery by Lisa Ann. You can't make this stuff up. Tune in every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Message Delivery is an inspirational show about the journey to enlightenment and spirituality. For more information or your own personal message delivery, visit AngelMessagesToYou.com. That's Angel Messages, the number two, the letter U.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Raising the vibrations through stimulating conversations while exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria on Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amirabeth. Join us every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing earth. For more information about me, visit Amirabeth.com.
The Truth Is Funny, Shift Happens with Colette Marie Stephan is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
welcome back to Living Your Gifts at Transformation Talk Radio. And today I'm so delighted to have such amazing people in the studio with me who are already mothering, who are utilizing a lot of the lessons we learned from Sabonfu and how to really get grounded in mothering, and also how to see that all women are mothers. I mean, I think that's what I really want to take a look at. Some of the best mothers are the mothers who have not given birth physically. Fathers, we need men, because you can see from a different viewpoint what's going on. And I always remember the story Sabonfu saying, I went from mother to mother in order to get the answer I wanted to get in the village. And I think there is something about when you have more women and when more men, if you're father, around the fathering, to talk about maybe how to get through something, then you have a lot more to draw on. And Kristen, I know that you had that in the village, and that you had to go through rituals with us. And does any ritual really stand out that helped you kind of see your gift and your connection to being a woman from all angles?
I can't think of a particular ritual, but I think as a whole, being in the community and being exposed in such a connected relationship with so many adults around me, I think that I got to see, you know, you grow up with your nuclear family, your mother and whoever else is in the house, and you know their personality and their dynamics. And when you are able to have so many mothers and fathers and so many different personalities and so many different, just everything that an individual brings to the table. And when you're able to have all these different people and know them intimately and love them as a human, I think it gives you softness towards yourself.
No. That's all right. But I want us to pick up on what she's saying on the softness for herself thing. She's so right about it. And one of our Facebook watchers, Heidi, just sent a note that talked about and is saying that her child is better off having many mothers. And so, you know, when we think about this, there is a softening. And why do I think that's important? Well, I'm not sure if we all have these rough edges. I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe Kristen doesn't, maybe Susan, maybe you don't. But I know as a kid growing up, I had some rough edges, right? Sometimes they were a little pointy. Vito's mama down the street, she knew how to just take that pointy edge and just make that thing a little softer. Maybe it was the Italian cookies, I don't know. But there was something about those moms knowing exactly what to say. And that is a gift. And I think that, you know, this is so important to talk about the softening of those edges and what that means. And sometimes it's not a softening by people, you know, patting you on the head or telling you how great it is. Sometimes there's some tough love in there, right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's tough love and then acknowledgement that everybody has been through that at some point and stage in their mothering and in their childhood. You know, like when Suzanne and I talk about whatever it is with the kids, you know, my kids or her kids, it's like mirroring something back so you're not alone or you don't feel, I mean, that's the problem in our culture. We're alone. And so our problems get so much bigger when it's normal, you know, that to have a kid act out against you or be more angry. Like you said, Maya can come to me sometimes because I'm not her biological mom.
Yeah. So, and my sons too. I just have to say it's, you know, we're kind of focusing on kind of the female, but it's amazing what I've seen with my young men, you know, and how they have gravitated and, you know, I'm getting a little wordy here, you know, for lack of better words, the divine feminine, you know, they have this, they might not know why they're drawn to it or why they need that, but they do. And so for them, it's this accepting of the feminine and that perspective and something that they really need, and allowing themselves to receive it has been really, really priceless. And knowing that they have someone other than just me, it's like starts here, but then they get it. And it's amazing to watch how they've blossomed as young men by accepting the mothers, you know, and I see that a lot in the community, not just with my own boys, but it's been an incredible observation of what that's done for our young men.
I think of one of the rituals that Sabonfu used to do as an intimacy ritual where you really had to look at one another, where you really had to, you know, I don't know if Kristen remembers, but you'd have to glare at each other to kind of, and you'd see yourself meld and see like, wait, I'm not different from this person. We are the same. And you would put your backs to each other and yell at spirit about what was pissing you off about what somebody was doing. And it was more about spirit coming in and helping you get clarity than actually the anger that you thought you had about the other person who has their back to you, right? And so I think community is about really acknowledging that we are humans and we're struggling and we can't do it by ourselves anymore. We just can't. So
perspective too, just, you know, that I'm thinking about how that is a different perspective that they're getting from this mama versus me. It's priceless.
Well, and let's talk about, if we could, and I think this is for Suzanne and Kristen. Let's talk for a minute about how you both have brought this teaching of Sabonfu into modern time, right? Because sometimes, you know, when I've shared about some of the rituals, I forget to talk about how those rituals are part of everyday life now. I'd love for you to share a little bit about how you're doing that.
Kristen, do you have something?
Or there? Suzanne.
Sure. So for me, when I got settled, I live in Maryland, and when I got settled, I fortunately was able to find an incredible group of women friendships who had children in similar ages. And we have created a family, a community. The children believe they are siblings. They are free to come and go to each other's houses, spend time with each other. We meet weekly. We try to meet weekly, and we call it a little sacred children's circle where we just do small intentional rituals with them. And what we're trying to do now is get them to lead their own groups. And so if they have an idea or a topic that they want to discuss the next week, we're leading towards having them create their own rituals to for things that are impactful for them and meaningful for them.
Kristen, do you remember the ritual you did down at the water with all your little friends? I think you were in the double digits.
Yeah. I remember doing the milk and honey on Fridays all the time.
Yeah.
Which, oh, the one when we found the fish, is that? Yes.
We did rituals by the water when they were young.
Yes. Yes.
And we do
Mainly teaching them.
Go ahead.
Yes, mainly teaching them how to ask for help, how to call in their support, how to call in the elements, the nature around them, and to connect deeper in with their friendships between each other, with their friendships between the mothers, with the friendships with themselves. And it's that's what we're trying to do with our kids. And I'm very, very fortunate to have a solid. Silas has not, from the time he was 6 months on, he has not known strong community. He's always been in it, to the point where when he found out that one of my friend's children's, he thought that because he always believed he was his cousin, he thought that of course they shared the same grandmother. And they, when he found that out last year, he was shocked. He said, "What do you mean? Where your grandmom's not my grandmom?" And, It was the sweetness of knowing that they are family, our friendships are family to him. And I'm grateful to Susan for modeling that to me and Sabamfu, and I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it any other way.
It makes me, reminds me of when Sabamfu died, and I had to call my son. And the first thing he said is, one of my mothers died today. And I thought, I did something right, you know, that he felt that way. But it was like this blessing and this sadness of like knowing that, that you can create. We have to know if it may have to be more conscious. We may have to like step out of this, these boundaries that we put around us and really say, I'm tired of doing it alone. I need help. You know, I'm just tired. And it is tiring to be a mom by yourself.
It is.
You know, and I know that you've done it differently.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know what I would have done without you and without our community, without the teachings of Sabamfu, without that openness to give up the control that maybe in our culture here is more, you know, embedded, deeply embedded, and knowing that that doesn't sit right with me, you know, on a soul level, it doesn't. So, and having that be nurtured from you and other women in our community has been completely priceless, you know, and to see how it's worked, you know, when you see a group of teenage girls that are a part of this community, then they're doing rituals on their own without, you know, now they just do it. Hey, let's go do milk and honey on a Friday. And the group of teenage girls goes themselves. We're not even with them. And they take off down there. So that gets ingrated, I should say, you know, it becomes innate to them and they are going to pass that on. And how priceless is that? They are going to absolutely pass that on.
And there is something about, you have to do a milk and honey ritual on a Friday, because it's an earth day in the Dogara tradition. So you're asking for nurturance and sweetness and you're giving it to the water. And that's it. You're putting milk and honey together and making an offering. And there is a sweet, and you pray to the spirits of the water that help you move through all the crap we take on in this world. And if I were to say one ritual, I know by Friday, if I don't do that ritual, I'm just not as good. And like sometimes Suzanne will call me and say, what time are you doing the ritual today? Or she'll call me and say, I'm doing it at 9. Can you do it at 9 today? I mean, it's like a sweetness to have somebody even hear you pray about what you're struggling with. And that's exactly what we do.
Yeah. I think you nailed something that's so important to me, and it just triggered something for me. And that is the witnessing. You know, this something I learned in my spiritual journey of the rituals of things is it's a witnessing. You get to have witnesses for who you are, what you're going through. I mean, there is an idea of being heard, but also being understood. And that's so powerful about what you all are talking about today, because we are finding, and people across the board, every survey that's out there is saying the same thing. People don't understand me. They're not hearing me. They're not knowing what I really want to say or do. And this is across the board, all ages. And the idea of witnessing each other in our daily lives is one of the most powerful things there is. And by the way, COVID-19 is forming a process that is pushing the witnessing forward. Because when you're in a house full of people, like, oh, you cannot avoid this, right? You either have to learn some skills really quickly or learn to understand things quickly. And that's one of the, how should I say it, offsets or benefits of what's happening and bringing people together in ways they haven't been before. But isn't that part of the learning? Isn't that part of it? Isn't there a part of witnessing that goes on in the teachings of Sabamfu where you don't even have to say it? You don't have to say it.
I think she gave us all the ability to say, wait, do you think this life is going to be easy? Forget about it. But it's going to be a whole lot easier if you have people holding you and nurturing you through the struggle. And that goes back to the grief ritual, which was the main ritual we used. And it's about acknowledging grief, acknowledging fear, acknowledging sadness, acknowledging death.
It's huge. Oh my gosh. I mean, we haven't even touched on that enough, I don't think. It's just, it was everything. You know, and to have kids, to have young people resonate with that, you know, they're not taught about grief, right? Young people, they're not taught about that. But to have them exposed to that and to watch the light bulb go on. Oh my gosh.
I remember the first grief ritual with Maya. Mm-hmm. And she opened me up.
She asked for it. Nobody suggested this to her. She's 12 years old. She says, Mama, she says, I want to do grief ritual. I want to do Savantra's grief ritual. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's heavy, you know, for a 12-year-old to take that on. That's a lot. Those are people wailing. These are people, you know, in a very safe container, you know, vomiting out their grief. This is heavy stuff. And so, you know, of course, I talked to Susan and she says, you know what? She's going to have to meet with Savanfu. So I says, great, I'll meet with Savanfu. That's fine. You know, and she sits down with Savanfu and they have their powwow and Savanfu says she's ready, you know, and she held that. She held that space. I could not even believe what that little girl did. You know, it was amazing to me, breathtaking to watch her do that and really own her own experience and to be able to hold the space for everyone else. You know, she did, and she was ready. But Savanfu, you know, was able to do that. And now I know that you would be able to do that. You would be able to hold that.
I think just giving people a place to feel what they feel is the most. And Kristen, you started really young. You and Ashley and Branner started really young at that, too. I mean, it opened you in a different way, I think. Don't you think? What did you do for you?
I think I cut out earlier, but I think for me, most of my experiences with the community and with things like grief rituals was seeing people's wholeness, their humanness, and being able to hold it in a not in a fear way or a, oh, you know, put it, go back to your room and do that. I see you, I accept you. This is normal. This is natural for emotion, for feeling, for, and in order to be able to relate that back to myself when I'm feeling that way, to have compassion for me and hold space for myself and ask community to do the same. It's for me, it was just this amazing witnessing and being able to apply the softness that I felt for others towards myself.
I think what I'd really like to say is like we experienced, it said something about the milk and honey ritual. And, you know, it's such an easy little ritual. I was going to give you another one today, but what I realized is milk and honey, all you need to do is get a little bit of milk, a little bit of honey, put it together. Like, put this and go down to the water and be real with your friends. Get some women friends, get some kids, and take it and ask for nurturance and sweetness to fill your entire body and say, I'm struggling about blah, blah, blah. This week was hard. I was on Zoom. I wanted to kill the teacher because I didn't feel like I was heard. Or maybe it's like, I'm so struggling. I don't know how to teach my children. I'm feeling alone in it. Just take it to the water, which is the element to really let you release and ask the earth to bring in nurturing and sweetness so that you can be filled completely with spirit again to take the next step, to take the next move, to being the mother you want to be or the father you want to be, and how to really call in community in a new way. Take risks, step out of your comfort zone, say you need help, and then do a ritual around it. You know, I just want to say, Dr. Pat, I am always so grateful to co-host this because you always bring in an element that I think, damn, why didn't I think of that? And you know, I have such deep love for both Suzanne and Kristen that I am the most blessed human being to have the women around me. And to see, you know, Suzanne's side by side. In fact, Suzanne's moving next door with me, and Kristen, who I couldn't have walked this earth without her, you know, that she brought such witness, such information. And so I want to just give a moment for Suzanne to like just say a little bit about how she helps really people with severe pain in her work, and tell them a little bit about that before we close out.
Well, and I think that is a really big part of our community here, and supporting our community is, you know, through holistic means, we are creating protocols for critically ill patients and people with chronic conditions. And we do that through plant-based medicines,
yeah,
support. And I think that is the biggest thing, is providing the support. People can go and receive all kinds of, you know, medicinal, you know, support, or I mean medicinal remedies and things like that to support them, and they can do their research and everything else. But is there anyone there to guide them? Is there anyone there to make sure that if they need some hand holding, you know, for a while or for the entirety of their basically traumatic experience?
Oh my gosh. It's so important, Suzanne. You know, as somebody that went through this myself and knew nothing about holistic medicine, plant-based medicine, I now talk about it as life-saving for me. But the hand-holding part, there's nothing like it, because people don't even know what they don't know about what's happening in their bodies. So what you're bringing to the forefront, by the way, is ancient. It is an ancient art. It is a science. It was the science that saved our humanity. And so it is a powerful way to bring that to the forefront.
It is. Thank you. Very shamanic. It just comes very naturally. Of course, people need support. And that's what's dying. You know, people feel very isolated here. And so learning that from Susan/Savanfu of, you know, the West is dying. We need community. We need support. We need to be there for each other. There's crisis across the board. Why are we not? Why is that so hard? Well, guess what? It isn't that hard, you know? So to be able to provide that for people in our community.
Yeah, we need biscotti, milk, and honey.
Yes, we really do.
I've got to bring the biscotti down to the water.
Well, you don't drink it. You give it to the water.
I've got to eat the biscotti.
And then you eat the biscotti.
Exactly.
So, Kristen, as always, thank you for mothering in the way that's necessary and needed, and being a role model for those young ones to really step into that. And Dr. Patton, thank you for this show, who I don't know. I just love you, and I love what you're bringing to the world on all your stations. And you've been listening to me, Susan Huff, with Living Your Gifts, Ancient Applications for Modern Times on Transformation Talk Radio. And if you want to know more about what I do, go to livingyourgifts.com. And I'm just grateful. Is there anything anybody would like to leave with closing out?
Suzanne, I think it's great for you to give your website again.
Oh, thank you. Earth Alchemy Holistic Care. EarthAlchemyHolisticCare.com. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies, for reminding us of our true nature. And thank you all for tuning in and turning us on. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Living Your Gifts, Ancient Applications for Modern Times. Now go out and face the world with your powerful, unique self. You get to be you. Now that is radical. Show the world what you learned and help make it a little bit better each and every day. To learn more about me, please visit www.livingyourgifts.com. That's livingyourgifts.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.